the world. On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world. We have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life, and administer biological weapons nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all of these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these psychopaths down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was put in the middle of the word belief, as when the psychopaths are able to lead the slave work units to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. This is not easy, as I discovered when I had to face the fact that the medical profession I had so proudly joined was totally corrupted to do the opposite of the Hippocratic oath taken to first do no harm. Please check out my websites, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, as well as drcarly.com. You will find a $10,000 reward I posted on drcarly.com 6 years ago for any white coat to refuse any of my medical information. Of course, to this day, there have been no takers. On both websites, you will find a link to a conference I gave in Chicago in 2008, which explained the four diagrams that are able to be printed out from both websites. I strongly suggest you do so and also listen to the lecture explaining them. The first diagram is the big picture, the cause of all disease on one piece of paper. And unfortunately, the psychopaths who control our world are causing all disease through vaccinations, various toxins, etc. And this is what we need to put a stop to. Thanks to the persecution I encountered due to my work, including the abduction and ongoing state-sanctioned torture of my only son, I was forced to face the truth that the problems we face are being caused intentionally, and the solutions that have been developed by people of conscience who step out of the boxes created when one becomes a licensed professional in any field are being suppressed. Facing the reality that these things are being done intentionally is a critical step in turning things around. And what we need to do is stand up and shout and say we are not going to take it anymore. And always remember that negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. And what we need to do is shine a light on these monsters and get enough people to realize that they are already dead. If you don't stand up and do something to turn things around, you are already dead, and our very planet is as well. If you think my work is important, please tell others about this show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. Always remembering, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. I teach you what I would do if I was you. And that's what one does when the medical mafia steals one's license for learning what causes all disease and how to reverse it. To learn how I do consults, click on the Services tab on reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com website. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. My toll-free number, which works from the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, is 888-321-6751. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected, because strange things are happening, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but Skype is used primarily for my international clients and radio shows. So if you're not international, please call me on my toll-free number. I do not practice medicine, as I said, nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you, to reverse disease with natural therapies, in not just people, but pets as well. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. click on Dr. Carly Archives. And let me say, for the last 2 weeks on my other show on OrionTalkRadio.com, I've been covering the zombie apocalypse situation. I strongly suggest that you go to the Light of Day Radio Show.com, click on Dr. Carly Archives, and not just listen to the two shows, but also download the documents that you will find there. The evidence that these are not zombies, these are cannibals. They have tweaked the rabies virus. They have been planning this for years and putting it in our face in movies such as Quarantine. What's going to be happening, folks, is so ugly that you're not going to want to face it. But they're already talking about making a vaccine for this strange condition, which they're causing. So you better get ready, and if I was you, I would certainly get yourself a colloidal silver generator. You can find the silver generator I use, Silver Lungs, by clicking on the link section on reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. I also give you solutions when available, and there is no organism that has ever been found to be able to ward off or to not be able to ward off any organism that they create. If the organism has a chance to take hold, of course, it's going to take a lot longer in order for things to happen. And that's why I take colloidal silver every day, as do my three dogs and two cats. And, of course, what you especially want to not do is allow them to inoculate you with disease. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 785-336-5190. You can also Skype in questions to PM Walk In Turtle. That's WALKINTURTLE. Strange things are happening with a Skype username on the station. Things are getting changed around. Nobody knows why, but we just go with it. But that one should work. PM Walk In Turtle if you want to Skype in a question or ask a question live on the air. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. There's also a chat room which you can go to on thesechangingtimesradio.ning.com, and if you want to type in a question there in the chat room, that will be put to me in the Skype conversation box. Okay, on today's show, the answer to I'm getting another number, 785-336-5190. Yes, okay, that's the one I said. Okay, on today's show, the question or the answer to what's ailing the world is unending evil, getting worse every day. And my special guest is a man by the name of Alexander Bachman, who I was introduced to recently. He is a bilingual individual, which is fantastic. He's getting the word out to the Spanish-speaking community about many things, including vaccinations. He's got many websites. Let me just read them off. Alexander Bachman, BACKMEN.com. No Autismo, AUTISMO.com. L Master Key. .com, ELMASTERQI.com, and ConciencyRadio.com, ConciencyRadio. And he does a lot of talk shows as well as having his own talk shows. So I would like to welcome you to the show, Alexander. We've talked about so many things. I know that you've been sending out a lot of information about this zombie situation, which obviously the reason they're using the word zombie is so that the CDC can basically have a plausible deniability situation, because actually, quite amazing, on June 4th, the CDC actually put out a statement on their website that there is no zombie apocalypse and that people should not be worried. Hold on, I have to find it here. I have such a pile of information.
Thank you. While you get at that, Dr. Carly, Rebecca, you know, it's a great honor and a privilege to be on your show. Once I started researching on bioterrorism after the 2009 pre-pandemic exercise that the U.S. government did in conjunction with the CIA by releasing a live chimeric virus known as H1N1, which is not even a human virus. I don't know why the World Hellish Organization, or WHO with Margaret Chang at the top, you know, named it the human swine flu, and nothing to do with the human species whatsoever. And I began doing a lot of evidence gathering. Back in 2004, I specialized as an investigative journalist into what we would call counterterrorism. And I started researching everything that had to do with Fort Detrick, Maryland, what the United States government started researching in Plum Island with Nazi scientist Eric Traub. I started researching everything behind the scenes, Operation Paperclip, came to the same conclusion that you have. It's the same people behind the scenes pulling the strings, trying to kill off the population. And one of the things that, you know, it's very interesting that you're mentioning right now about this zombie pandemic, which we were on this like a hawk when it started. And when we saw the situation start to escalate in the media, when we saw the PSYOP operation, because it is a psychological operation, that zombie nation. And, you know, if it is a shame because we all contribute into inflaming the topic about zombies, but it's a cultural aspect. It's about reconditioning society for a hell on earth scenario, thanks to the transhumanism model that they want to implement, which is basically, let's experiment beyond the limits here as scientists and start mixing different types of seeds and genetics in order to bring abominations upon planet Earth.
Yes, well, that's what they've been doing, and it is not my intention to promote fear, but of course to educate people and give them solutions. But in fact, they need to know, and the evidence is overwhelming, that not only is this actually happening, but that it's being caused by a tweaked rabies virus. The National Geographic organization has actually a document on their website I talked about yesterday asking if a zombie virus is possible via a rabies flu hybrid. We have a document out of Canada from 2009 where the scientists are actually mathematically modeling an outbreak of zombie infection. And as I said, the CDC, back in 2011, my medical school classmate, Ali Khan, which it still freaks me out that I graduated from medical school with this man who is now working for the Demonic Centers for Disease Creation, and he put out this Preparedness 101 Zombie Apocalypse. As I said, as of 6/4, just a few days ago on the CD website, they have an article, CDC to America, there is no zombie apocalypse. And, of course, there is no zombie apocalypse because the most commonly known definition of zombies is reanimated dead people. These are not reanimated dead people.
Exactly.
These are cannibals created by the rabies virus. Yes. Go ahead.
Exactly. But it's the culture idea. You know, the sheeple, and I'm sorry to say that, but 80% of the population are under a state of total mind control. They're citizens of the state, and they're subdued to what the media pushes in their fluoridized brains. So their brain is calcified from so many GMOs and everything that they eat and put into their bodies that that's basically the zombie nation. I mean, if you want a zombie pandemic, America and the world are already in a zombified state. So if you want to redefine zombie, then there you go. No, but you're right. I mean, it's not a zombie apocalypse. But apocalypse means in Greek revelation, apocalypse. So I believe that the revelation of the zombie is already underway. And yes, you are correct. It is the rabies thing. And when we researched and found this 2009 white paper, I mean an official white paper online from MITAX up in Canada, which we have been investigating. This is definitely an Illuminati front organization where they pay off these scientists to do mathematical models. Why in the world would these scientists, very qualified at that, write in their abstract that they would do this model in order to introduce some form of zombie pandemic around the world and how to contain it. So it's all about containing the problem. But it's a living model. I mean, this is the model that they really did, and they published it and everything. So that's sick in itself, if you ask me, because they're actively investing money and resources into zombie-type pandemics.
Right, and that's why it's so important that documents like this are being found, because it makes it so obvious that they're doing things intentionally. Now, as I mentioned, you can all get the link. If you go to the lightofdayradioshow.com, click on Dr. Carly Archives. Underneath the show I did last Saturday and yesterday, you will find multiple documents, including this one that you can download, and it will amaze you, or perhaps not. On the first page of this article, When Zombies Attack, Mathematical Modeling of an Outbreak of Zombie Infection, they give the definition of a zombie as reanimated human corpse that feeds on living human flesh. Now, let me say that there's also another definition of zombie, because our language has also been corrupted. There are multiple definitions for the same word, and I actually looked zombie up, and one of the definitions for zombie is one who looks or behaves like an automaton, which is a robot. So it doesn't have to be the undead. But the fact that they're using the word zombie, you know, this is definitely being done to create some kind of a fear consciousness within the people, especially when you start seeing things like this happening in your own community. And one of the things that amazed me on page 142 of the document, because this is a chapter 4 in some infectious disease modeling research progress, they're modeling all kinds of stuff. Page 142, it says, if zombies infect humans faster than humans can kill them, which we expect, then eradication depends critically on quarantining those in the primary stages of infection. We expect only two outcomes. Either zombies are eradicated or they will take over completely. What an up, you know, notion that we have there. And I'll say it again. I encourage all of you to watch the movie Quarantine, which I actually rewatched yesterday morning before my show, which not only shows the true cannibalistic cause, which is a tweaked rabies virus, but it also shows what happens in quarantine. Because if they start quarantining people, of course, they'll have a vaccine by now. By then, they will be inoculating people with this tweaked rabies virus, and then, you know, everybody in quarantine is just going to kill each other. So it's very important to get yourself some colloidal silver and stay away from the quarantines. But it's, like I said, it's very important for people to wake up and face the fact that this is what our psychopathic governments are doing intentionally. We all know through Agenda 21, Georgia Guidestones, etc., they want to depopulate the Earth by 20%. And, of course, you know, apparently the wars aren't making progress fast enough. Go ahead, Alexander. And
yes, thank you. This is part of a satanic operation. We have to go beyond and understand evil at its roots. We cannot see the situation horizontally, Rebecca. We have to see it vertically. You see, there are supernatural elements at work here. When we see this document, this mathematical document, you know, defining right away in the introduction that a zombie is a reanimated human corpse that feeds off human flesh, and then they say, well, there's the spiritual belief of voodoo, right? Or anglicized voodoo that comes from Africa, etc. They're already putting the spiritual aspect in a scientific document saying, you know, we know there's a spiritual aspect to this. So they're delving in the occult. They're trying to bring out this situation. We know Merck Pharmaceutical, Merck, and that's why it's called Merck, because of the mercury they use. And they're basically, they're Mercs. They're mercenaries using syringes to kill off the population with Bill Gates everywhere. But you see Uganda, they've been experimenting in Uganda, Nigeria. I mean, they've been letting out the Ebola virus now and then, you know, in Afghanistan, and they just suppress it. They've been experimenting. And you know what? I believe right here we're looking at the same situation. We know that behind the scenes they've been using the indigenous population for experimentation. They've done it in Mexico. In Mexico right now we have huge outbreaks of dengue virus. And out of nowhere, and suddenly, boom, dengue here, dengue there. So it's obvious that, and hantavirus, It's obvious that they grab these rats and just put them into the indigenous population. Oh, my God, we have a pre-pandemic situation. No, they do it by design, okay?
Okay, and we have comment, because you used that word belief, and I have to say, you do not believe this, Alexander. You know this. The reason I say that over and over is because when people talk to others that they're trying to wake up, if you say you believe such is happening, they're going to say, oh, you believe that, I believe this, let's just agree to disagree. If you use the word no, because you've done your homework, then they are forced to do research. They cannot put their heads in the sand anymore. And let me just say, it's very likely that they're injecting rats with hantavirus, but I would say it's more likely that they're sending in their missionaries, and especially the Red Cross, to give vaccinations to people, and they've stuck this stuff in there. They don't even need a rat. They can do it through vaccinations, and that's exactly what's going on. And I just want to mention also, once again, from this extremely important paper out of the National Geographic. I'm sure that you saw this. I've gotten so much information. I can't remember.
Oh, the 2010 paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What they say in here is just so amazing. What they basically admit to, where is it? Well, they're talking about that there are many ways that virus mutations can occur. And they actually say in the next to the last paragraph, they could imagine the person being interviewed states, I could imagine a scenario where you mix rabies with a flu virus to get airborne transmission, a measles virus to get personality changes, the encephalitis virus to cook your brain with fever and thus increase aggression even further, and throw in the Ebola virus to cause you to bleed from your guts.
There you go.
Combine all these things and you'll get something like a zombie virus. But then she says, nature doesn't allow all these things to happen at the same time. Of course, the unspoken ending to that sentence is, but we can do it in the laboratory. And they also mention it in this, let me just say one more thing and then you can comment. They actually have an International Zombie Research Society, an international nonprofit. What's up with that? Go ahead.
Well, the thing here is that these people actively are working on projects. I mean, they don't come out publicly on National Geographic, which is a front of the same powers that be, and publish an article back in 2010 conditioning society to understand that, look, we're coming out of the closet. Look, we're going to be doing certain things, and everything will go supernatural from now on. Is that these people behind the scenes in their little secret laboratories over there at Livermore in Berkeley and other places, they're experimenting. They're doing these things for real in secret, you know, level 4 laboratories, containment laboratories around the world, experimenting. And now they're bringing out into the arena the possibility of supernatural conditions where they would create fit extensions for demonic warfare. I don't think, Rebecca, this only has to do with creating a pandemic. I believe they're creating the physical extensions for demons, basically from other dimensions, in order to start inhabiting humans, because not normal what we saw over there in Miami. I mean, the attack lasted 18 minutes and nobody did anything to stop it. There are supernatural aspects to it.
I have no debate with you about that. I know that this is a spiritual war, this is good versus evil, and I've had some interesting experiences with the dark side myself, which is what made me face the fact that demons do exist, and I've had to wake up to that reality myself. But one thing I want to get into a little bit later is why is God allowing all this to happen, and we'll do that. But I just want to also say that there is an author, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's a pastor, his name is Russ Dizdar.
Absolutely, The Black Awakening, yeah, I've spoken to Russ.
Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers and the Coming Chaos, and you know, basically he talks about the fact that ritual abuse victims, which is a very hard thing for me to think about even, because my son's been going through satanic ritual abuse sanctioned and caused to happen by the court for a decade now, but that basically the ritually abused victims would begin to play out chaos chaos programming, and that it has been revealed to him, and he writes about in the book that the Dark Brotherhood has been programming these individuals for years for a future date when they will cause helter-skelter upon the earth. Now, I had a conversation with him. One of my listeners sent me his book. You know, it's extremely disturbing, but, you know, I face disturbing information all the time because my goal is to, you know, enlighten listeners and clients as to what's going on, and then try to come up with solutions. But one thing that really bothered me in our conversation, I don't think he wrote this in his book, but he actually told me that God has given Satan certain rights. Because I'm always asking the question, why is God allowing this? We're supposed to have a loving God. And, you know, if you have a loving father, he does not put you into the pit of hell. He does not allow you to be raped, tortured, murdered, sacrificed, eaten, whatever, by monsters. That's not, you know, a loving God. And I could never figure out, okay, so let me get this straight. God created Jesus. He let him be put on a cross, die a horrific death, and that's what he did to the son that he loved. But to the angel that he obviously in his omnipotence knew would become Lucifer, because, you know, he knows everything that's going to happen, to that being, he let him loose on the earth to cause everything that's happening now. How does that work? And I had actually had a previous conversation with you, and you actually had an answer for that question. So I would like you to share that with the listeners because I found it very intriguing.
Okay, first of all, we have to hit the ball with the bat right here and say, we are researchers. That means we are searching again. We are re-searching. We are searching for that question to be answered. Why are we here? And what's the conundrum here? Why does this psychopath, the father of all psychos, and that's the path of the psycho. That's why I call it psychopath, right? We have Pan, God Pan from the ancient lore, which is the devil, you know, running to and fro across the earth as the prince of the air, as it says in the Bible. Why did he rebel? Well, because he basically something happened in heaven. I mean, the Bible is full of clues into what happened, but you would have to go into more research in order to explain that. I mean, nobody's going to grab the Bible, you know, at face value right now and say, okay, read the Bible, decode it, spend 40 years of your life and try to understand why we fell. Nobody's going to do that, but some people have. And one of them, and I'm going to recommend a book right here off the bat. I'm going to be telling you that you have to interview this author. But anyway, if you go to and research Sons of God, : Who We Are and Why We Are Here by Zen Garcia. His webpage is fallenangels.tv. You will be blessed to understand that there are very good parabiblical researchers, okay? We're talking about people that have gone beyond the Bible in trying to explain why we are here and why this cycle has power over humanity. And one of the key questions of understanding this is that we're under a legal constraint by the enemy. I mean, the devil does exist, okay? And he does work through his extensions, which are the powers that be. It doesn't matter if they're Zionist. It doesn't matter if they're Islamic. It doesn't matter if they are the supremacist, Nazi, cults. Or it doesn't matter if it's the capital, the spiritual capital of the devil and himself in Rome. It doesn't matter. The devil just wants to operate iniquity and confusion and chaos and destroy people while he's at it in order to prevent people getting redeemed. Now, why would Jesus fall? Why would Jesus come into the flesh, be inserted here as God, basically, and dying on the cross in order to pay or purchase us for our sins? Because we're born dead, but if we're born dead into sin, why did we fall dead into sin in the first place? Those are the questions that I think this is the book for any person to understand this. Now, you should interview Sen Garcia. I'm going to set you up with him so you can interview him because he can go into more detail. But a lot of the research for his book, we have contributed, and it has helped a lot to explain and to dispel all those questions. Now, The other thing that I would like to touch upon, which is very, very important, is we have a very, very broad sense of pointing out, you know, we know we're not from this earth. We know we weren't born here. You ask generally people, you know, where do you think you come from? Some people point to the sky. Some people point to under the earth. Some people point, well, into their heart. But, you know, generally we come from a place. There's a source for all of this. And we generally people say, well, you know, I come from another place beyond here. So we understand there is a spiritual dimensional aspect to our presence here, that we live in the subatomic realm where, therefore, if we are in the subatomic, there has to be an overatomic or a place higher than us. So yeah. there was a war in heaven. There is no doubt about these angel wars. I mean, even the Dead Sea Scrolls prove now that there are seven angel wars. There's two scrolls that were found in Qumran in Jordan in 1947. That's a key date in prophecy because of the seven. And one of the things in these rolls, they're called the war scrolls. They talk about seven angel wars, six already transpired. Three were won by darkness. Three were won by the light. And there's one last angel war that would be fought. And that last angel war is going to be fought here on earth. And another excellent website that I want to recommend personally is angelfall.com. And if you go there and do the research, just read the synopsis, you will be, you know, blown away. And really, this brings all of it into understanding. It's not that we're talking about religion here. It's not religion. It's a spiritual dimensional problem that has to be resolved. And, you know, basically, when we talk about a legal constraint over humanity, we're talking about somebody that has tremendous power. Now, Satan is a fallen angel, the same as we are fallen as well. But we fell into flesh. He did not fall into flesh. And we're talking about supernatural entity. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I need to comment as we go along. I'm writing notes
here.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, first of all, you mentioned the Zionists. I just want to, at some point, also get into the fact that these are the children of Cain. These are Edomites. These are the serpent people, the synagogue of Satan, okay? Because that's very important. And, yes, they have their web extended everywhere, but it's quite obvious that they are behind much of this. In fact, most of these researchers are Zionist Jews, and, you know, sometimes it's obvious by their name, sometimes they change their name, but obviously they've created a web. It involves the Freemasons and all kinds of other things. I do have a little disagreement with you about the Nazis. I've been doing a lot of research about the Holocaust, which is a total hoax put forward by the Zionist Jews, and that's a subject for another day. But one of my big questions is this whole idea of being born in sin and falling into the flesh. I do not get it. Why, just because, you know, Adam and Eve did the wrong thing, they were told not to, you know, basically play around with a snake, and they did, why that has to be brought forward to humanity till the end of time. Why people have to be punished and say that they're born into sin because of that which happened. You know, a baby, in my mind, is innocent. It's not full of sin, and it doesn't deserve to be sacrificed and cannibalized and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm sure people will check out those sites that you gave, and I will as well. But if you could just help the listeners understand that, because we did discuss this, and the whole idea that, yes, there's this legal agreement now. Oh, lucky me. I mean, I wish I wouldn't have even come here. You know, I didn't agree to come to hell. You know, but, you know, I know we all have a purpose and all that kind of stuff, and so I'm doing my purpose. But, you know, where was the contract, you know? Well, where were we told before we decided to go into human form? You're going to hell. Sign here on the dotted line, please. Go ahead.
All right. The situation here is that there was a problem in heaven. First of all, let's look at it this way. Look at it in a way where we can all understand in layman's terms here. Imagine that we have a king in heaven, which is God. He created everything. He's omnipotent and omniconscious. He's the Father. He's the Son. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the indivisible. He is everything. All right. And there was an anomaly in heaven. Now, he created the perfect creation, the most perfect creation ever, which is Adam. Adam with a capital A, not Adam with a lowercase a, because in Genesis, there are two Adams. The Adam with small capital A, which are basically people that did not have the alma or the numa, which is the soul. And when Adam was inserted here in the flesh, it was because he was an immortal being that had to fall into a human body, okay, in order to fulfill something, which is basically the judgment. Now, what judgment are we talking about? Well, basically, everything that we see transpiring here, past, present, and future, it all has to do with something in heaven, which is called the judgment. What judgment, and why are we being judged? Well, basically, because there were crimes committed. What crimes? Angel wars. What angel wars? Well, you know, when God created Adam, Lucifer in that time got really, you know, upset and jealous and everything, because we're talking about the new prototype of the ultimate angel of all time, Adam. And basically, he didn't want to deal with the idea. There is also other aspects that we know through Revelation and such, that there is a technology for creation based on light that even Lucifer the devil stole. He wasn't the devil back then, but he stole these codes of creation in order to create abominations. So there you go. From the first moment, we have a situation where abominations would be created. For example, dinosaurs. I mean, I don't believe or subscribe to the theory of evolution that suddenly, you know, everything came into being. And then through miraculous means, we got through evolution, dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, I mean, agree with you. That's ridiculous. That's
all right.
Yeah, that a primordial soup basically, you know, caused cells to come together and all these species were created. That's ridiculous. I agree.
But here's the key. Here's a symbological key, Rebecca. We're talking about panspermia. Now, who is Pan? It's the god. It's Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Pan, you know, getting drunk with all the nymphs and having sex with the nymphs there. The sayer or the sire or the satyr. Now, if we research in the Bible, the satyr were basically the mixing of genetic material between fallen angels that came here and had sex with women. So it's always about mixing the genes. It's all about DNA, you see?
Right.
And what, yeah, exactly. And the satyr or the god Pan, that's why we have panspermia. It's his sperm, basically. All right?
Right. Right, and now we have these mad scientists doing their transhumanism thing, creating chimeras of animal and human DNA, so now they're doing it in laboratories. And I agree with everything you're saying, but my problem is that God, in his omnipotence, knew this was going to happen.
Well, let's go into that. Okay, I've questioned this for a long time, and I do have a probable answer here, which is the following. Imagine that something happened, you know, maybe God did not foresee it, all right, and an anomaly happened in heaven, and just look at it like this. There's a crystal, and this crystal is perfect, and suddenly it started becoming polarized. Let's imagine that crystal floating in the void is, it's perfect, it's beautiful, but it started to polarize itself. So there's an anomaly within the system that had to be studied. It had to be expunged, it had to be isolated or quarantined. We are under a quarantine. And on this planet Earth, we are in quarantine. Why? Because of the transgressions. What transgressions? Well, we started helping Lucifer up in heaven in his little insane idea, believing that he's the same as God. So basically, something happened. And that what happened was that a war broke out in heaven between Lucifer, the angels that were helping him, and we're talking about a situation where there are trillions of angels, as documented in the Bible in Revelations 5:11, trillions of them. Now, imagine that this war that broke out in heaven had to be stopped. So when it stopped, there was, let's say, a ceasefire and then a judgment. And that judgment, basically the angels that helped Lucifer rebel they were snared, as it is explained in Revelations, that they were cast down. But we weren't cast down. We were snared. We were brought into a deception by Lucifer in order to be cast down. So it was his plan all along. It wasn't God's plan. And I know that question, you know, that's a question that everybody would have to ask God eventually. You know, why did all this happen? If you are so omnipotent.
Wait a minute. You're saying that every human on Earth was involved in helping Lucifer, and that's why we were punished by coming to this hell on earth.
So absolutely.
So all of us. I mean, I don't remember that, obviously, agreeing to help Lucifer. And I know there's deception involved as well. But that's pretty disgusting. So if we all agreed to help Lucifer, how come once we come down here, some of us are doing everything we can to stop these monsters?
Because we're not evil. We were snared. Again, we were tricked by him. So he tricked humanity. He tricked Adam. Adam was created spiritually up in Eden. Eden is not even here. Eden is a spiritual place up in heaven. So when all this happened with Eve, because the problem was Eve eventually, and she had sex with Lucifer, the first Nephilim was born, the first mixing of an angel, a god, basically, with a human form was formed, a hybrid, and this hybrid is Cain. So we have the bloodline of Cain, and Cain is the satanic bloodline of the Illuminati, of the Edomites, which are the Jews, and everything that you're talking about. I mean, it's them. There's no doubt about that. And to point you further through to the truth, I'm going to just direct you to resources. Go to ProfessorTruth.com when anybody has time. Go to ProfessorTruth.com. It's an excellent website that we have up, and you can go there and do the research on your own. And listen to an interview by Ellie James and Bertrand Comparé, well, exposing who the Jews really are. And I'm not anti-Semite here, so they don't start, you know, saying that we are anti-Semite. They are the enemy. Jesus defined them as the enemy when he was here.
Well, the Jews aren't even Semites to begin with, so people have to start their research by figuring out who the Semites are. And I agree with you, and people need to do further research, but, you know, time is always a problem. So that's why I want to give as much information as I can to people. So basically, those of us who are trying to bring light to the situation are the ones who were fooled by these psychopathic angels, especially Lucifer. And so once we came down here to this hell on earth, that's why some of us are doing what we're doing. And the other ones seem to be in much greater numbers. And, of course, now they've developed technology. There's even research being done at MIT on using magnetic pulses to remove the morality center of the brain. We know that rabies virus affects the brain similarly. Vaccines themselves affect the brain similarly. There's all kinds of things that they're doing to affect those who would otherwise do the right thing. And that's one of the main parts, you know, that I have a problem with. Because I don't understand why God doesn't give protection to the people who are being totally mind wiped at this point. You know, because the main reason that this thing is progressing at the rate it is now is because too many people are totally mind wiped, brainwashed, mind controlled, you know, or living in fear. They don't believe that they can do anything. So just, you know, drink your beer, watch your television, and enjoy your life, you know, whatever that means, until things really get, you know, at the final point.
Well, Rebecca, people are in a fallen state. And in that fallen state, you have an aspect in this spiritual warfare, because it is a techno-dimensional spiritual warfare, as Tom Horn exposed in his incredible book, Forbidden Gates, about transhumanism. It's a techno-dimensional spiritual warfare thing, and that's why the Pentagon is actively researching, you know, all these super soldier programs within DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, of creating the new super chimeric super soldiers, and bringing and unleashing all these secret projects out into the light, like this zombie apocalypse, quote unquote. So what we're seeing here, and what you're talking about, is the same aspect that we saw before the flood. It's about mixing the seeds and start experimenting and corrupting the DNA to such an extent that the living temple of Adam, that which we have a blessing to inhabit, which is the bodies that we have right now, cannot be redeemed. You see, if I corrupt you enough, you will never get saved. And that's the situation. I mean, the devil does not want souls going to heaven, because that would mean that we would be saved. And we are angels. Make no mistake about it. We are angels falling into flesh. We are under a state of quarantine. Our angelic, we were stripped of all our angelic honors and the glory that we had and everything that we were given a gift with, because of one thing. We were tempted. Yes, we were tempted in the garden. Eve got tempted. They consumed some form of psychotropic fruit. Okay, we know it's a fruit. We know that she was manipulated into having sexual relations with the enemy, and she got pregnant. Okay, not only by one, but many babies, all right? And we're talking about a situation that had to that transpired eventually, and Jesus himself, I know this sounds outlandish, but there are documents that in the Vatican Library, they have in their little vaults over there, and there's another manuscript that Sen Garcia exposes in his book, The Sons of Truth, where he talks about a very ancient 7,000-year-old document that's out of Africa that explains the entire situation of what happened in the garden, okay? And one, when one comes to understanding that Quetzalcoatl, the flying serpent, or whatever you want to call him, is coming back in 2012-21 December, according to Mayan lore and other prophecies, it's absolutely true. It's endgame, and this is what people need to understand. In heaven, during the judgment, Lucifer came out and said, no, you're not going to judge me and send me to a pit of fire or whatever. You're not going to condemn me because you know what? They helped me too. And you know what? I'm going to issue here. I'm going to submit an appeal in the divine council here, and I want you to listen to my appeal. So Jesus comes out. Let's say the judge in question comes out and says, okay, you think God comes out and says, okay, you think that you are God, okay, we're going to allow you to govern the world for 6,000 years. And they put us in this situation. So when we're born, there was a division between heaven and earth. And that division is the second heaven, which is Satan's kingdom, all right? That's why we have to get into spiritual warfare here. The vertical agenda is more important than the horizontal agenda. I mean, we could go into geopolitics and everything, you know, that's happening here on earth. But the ultimate reality is coming to terms with one truth. We are a spiritual humanity. Our nature is spiritual. We are obviously connected to a source that gives us life. It's been proven, you know, by molecular biology, by Dr. Bruce Lipton and others, that there is something external that fuels us spiritually. All right? So coming to terms with that, the appeal was issued. It was accepted. And they let this guy, this Joker guy, governed humanity for 6,000 years. And we don't know we are angels. That's basically, you know, the biggest truth out there. We are angels that fell into the flesh. This guy has total legal control over your soul until you understand one last thing, that Jesus Christ came and died for you. That's the only ticket out of here. And he doesn't want you to know that. That's why people that are in all other forms or denominations or beliefs, spiritual beliefs, he doesn't bother with them. He bothers with Christians. He gets bothered by people that are truly accepting Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the typical Christian that goes to church every Sunday in the United States or over there in Rome. No, we're talking about the Christians that are being born again in Nigeria and being slaughtered and hacked with machetes every day. We're talking about the true Christians that are being born again in Iran, for example. We have more than 200,000 Christians there, which they want to go bomb and destroy. That's the reality of this problem. And there's a very ancient document that the Vatican has in their power and that Sen Garcia publishes in his new book, Truth, which basically says right there, Sons of God, I'm sorry, is the name of the book, that is called The Cave of Treasures. It's the testament of Adam, Rebecca. And when you read that, you come to terms into reality. Adam fell. He was brought down here to this world by God himself and said, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm going to have to come back and fix the anomaly. I'm going to come back and be born in your body because I know the devil will never let you get out of this problem. And the legal problems, we have to get out of here. And the only way we could get out of here, if our DNA was already corrupted by the seed of Cain, because we all have the seed of Cain, but we also all have the seed of God inside us. I mean, with all these genetic mixing of seeds, it's obvious that we all are corrupt anyway. So the only way to fix or get around the situation was Jesus being born. That's why you saw the situation, you know, after the flood, the seed got passed through the flood through Ham. And we still have the situation of corruption of the flesh. We have the situation where these Edomites, because they're not even Jews, they're Edomites, started corrupting everything. They are the tares. And as the tares and the wheat grow together, you know, there was a problem where eventually, you know, there's going to be a separation or the harvest. And that's the end game here. It's about 6,000 years of this guy reigning on earth. It was basically when Adam was put here was in the year 4003 before Christ. And we're ending this period in 21 December 2012. That's when his appeal is torn asunder. That's when there's going to be a arrest warrant issued from heaven, and they're going to come for him. That's why he's going to go embed himself inside a body that people call the Antichrist. This guy wants to bastardize God to such an extent that he's going to live inside a cloned body of Jesus Christ, which is Prince William. It's been proven by Dr. Joy Jeffress Pugh that you should have on your show. It's been proven, you know, scientifically that they grabbed a blood sample from the Shroud of Turin, which has been proven recently, and it's documented very well that there are supernatural aspects to the Shroud of Turin. It did come from Israel, and it is the cloth where they wrapped the body of Jesus. So it's all about that, you know, preventing that Jesus would be born. It's about Herod, you know, another Edomite Jew, going and giving the order to kill off all the babies. It's all about preventing and corrupting the DNA so we cannot go back home. It's all about that. That's the summary of this. So if you really go into biblical prophecy and try to explain why and if everything is going on the way it's going, you know, the end game is here. And I don't see, if we align ourselves with spiritual prophecy and the Bible, which is, in my opinion, spiritually and supernaturally driven, that there is an exact and specific design, a model of prophecy, not only at a molecular level, at a DNA level, but also at other levels. There are multiple codes inside the Bible that would prove that basically, I mean, we don't get past 2019 and we're out of here.
Okay. I'm writing notes here. A few questions I have to ask. First of all, let me just mention, I had someone by the name of Sherry Schreiner on my show, who also is a very intense researcher into these issues in regards to, she does research on the Bible codes, and she actually found proof within her research that it shows that the rabies virus will be put in vaccines. So I wanted to just mention that. So basically what you're saying, and I actually had somebody tell me this recently, that the reward of those of us who...
Hold on. I just got a revelation. Rebecca, I just got a revelation now that you mentioned that. Rabies comes from rabbis. All right? Amen. All right. The Holy Spirit does work with us. All right?
Yes.
So... Now we know the origin of the rabies virus. It comes from the rabbis.
Okay, and I've had, and I just have to say, I've had some spiritual experiences myself, and that's why I know that there are very high powers that do help those who, you know, basically pledge their lives to doing the right thing. The diagrams that I came up with in 1999, I was sound asleep. I had been asking the question, what's ailing America? It was like I was putting it out there all the time. I woke up one night. I went to my kitchen table. Those diagrams came out of my pen. I had nothing to do with it. And I realized that I had put the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper. So that was the most intense example I've had personally, although I've had a few instances. They've tried to kill me a few times, different things that have happened which did not succeed. And sometimes, you know, I wish they had, because actually I was told recently by somebody that my reward would be death. And I'm now realizing from what you're saying and from our previous conversation that that is true, that living here in this hell on earth, which is obviously what we're living in, is basically a hell, and that our reward is dying. And you see, when you have a situation like that, that's one of the problems. Because people say, okay, well, you know, I could do the right thing, and I'll be persecuted, I'll be tortured, I'll be whatever the case may be, and killed. Or I can work with the monsters, and I can have everything I want, supposedly, on this earth. And then, you know, because of that stuff in the Bible about, oh, accept Jesus as your Savior, you can wait till the last minute. I mean, even Jeffrey Dahmer, he became a Christian while he was in prison. So for all of the cannibalistic acts and murder that he committed during his life, according to the way the Bible's written, you know, the way the rules work, that, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer's in heaven. John Wayne Gacy's in heaven. We can all go to heaven and hang out with these monsters. So it's
Let me give you some evidence that the U.S. government doesn't want people to know about. There are some ancient military documents that were posted at the Library of Congress like 10 years ago. And we have them up at the Professor Truth website under, I think it's Advanced Truth. And if you go there and download the PDF file of the direct and perfect translation of the Roman military documents that Pontius Pilate wrote, Josephus wrote, and Tiberius wrote, and Herod wrote, you will come into terms with what we understand now, parabiblically, obviously, the final evidence of why and why we have to accept Jesus in our hearts in order to get out of here. You see, Jesus came to pay for our sins, and yes, there are people up in heaven that here might have done evil things, but at the last moment they repented. That's why we can be saved. I know it sounds extreme, but you know, God would forgive anybody that just accepts him. That's the thing. You see, it's that little detail, that little thing inside your, that little thorn on your side that says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Jesus is not God. Don't do it. You see, it's the enemy. The enemy can manipulate people extra dimensionally. He operates in the second heaven. He sees everything we do. From the moment you go to sleep, to the moment you take a shower, he sees everything. He has a supernatural intelligence system looking at humanity. That's why if we don't have the spiritual covering of Jesus Christ, that's why they haven't been able to kill you. It's God on your side here. All right? They've tried to kill me, and look at what happened to the people that tried to kill me. They're all dead. So you see, it's about that issue of faith. It's about giving ourselves to God and submitting to God, and God will have your back. But how strong are we? You see, it's that weakening of our spirit that does not allow us to be true warriors for Jesus Christ, okay? And Eric Ludi over there in Colorado is a clear example. I would just direct people to my website, alexanderbachman.com. And right there, you know, right in the middle, I put there, thank you for the last interview I had yesterday on the Edge radio show. You can download there or watch these videos by Eric Ludi, which is the gospel and the ancient war cry. We need to establish that we are warriors for Jesus Christ, and we will fight until the death. We are not meant to just cower down. And, oh, yeah, come, and here's my neck, and start cutting it with the guillotines, the Chinese guillotines in the FEMA camps. No. I was born a warrior. I was trained to be a warrior. I'm going to fight for Jesus Christ in his honor and glory. That's what I'm going to do. Other people don't want to do that. Okay, be my guest. But, you know, the evidence is clear. Okay? And the war, finally, is him. It's his war working through us supernaturally. And there are going to be supernatural times in this world where terrible evils are going to be unleashed, and we will start witnessing these evils manifest. I think it's already starting. The word rab in Hebrew, where you would have the word rabies or rabies, means much, many, great, abounding, more numerous than, abundant, enough, great, strong, greater than, and exceedingly. So, you see, there is a spiritual connection to the rabies outbreak that you are exposing so eloquently, and the mixing of these super drugs with rabies in order to start this apocalyptic scenario. It's all about the same thing. We have it documented. Project Camelot documented this interview with somebody that was heading the nuclear projects, the military projects over there in the UK. He worked for the MOD, the Ministry of Defense. They had this super secret meeting back in 2004 where they pre-planned the Third World War, and part of the plan was to trigger two or three nuclear devices being detonated in the Middle East. The world would go into standby mode, like immediate shock, and they would unleash a biological weapon of global extermination. In China, and this thing would mutate and start spreading all over the world and killing everybody in its path. They expect an 80 to 90% return rate of extermination with these apocalyptic scenarios. They are on a trip here where they just want to kill off the population before God comes back. That's the end game.
Okay, Okay, a few questions.
Now, if you're not aligned, I'm sorry to just say this. If you're not aligned with Jesus Christ and understand this, you're not getting out of here. You're going to go to your second death. And, you know, Jesus conquered death for a reason. Okay? He conquered death for a reason, so we are not afraid to die. All right? Because death is just a transition from here to the other place where we should be, which is in heaven. But most of the people are afraid of death, and they're afraid of things of man, you know, when they should start fearing God. God is omniconscious, omnipotent. He has control over the situation. But there's a legal aspect to why we're here. And you see, that's why Lucifer, Satan, the devil, still has power.
Okay? Right, because when he asked for an appeal, he was given 6,000 years to torment the people on the face of the earth. Why 6,000 years? How about 6,000, you know, days? So I have a problem with that to begin with.
Well, because God's number, yeah, hold on. God's number is a seven-based number. So 6,000 plus 1,000 years of his millennium or his kingdom on earth will give you 7,000 years. It's all about completion of cycles. I know it sounds weird, but God's number is the number seven. And everything is full of codes, mathematical codes that are, I mean, just mind-boggling. We would go on into hours and hours on end just to explain to you that everything is aligned perfectly, transtemporally aligned with Jerusalem. It all has to do with the Ark of the Covenant. It all has to do with the return of Jesus Christ. And I know it doesn't sound logical. I know you're looking at this, Rebecca, from the logical perspective, trying to say, well, what is this? You know, giving this guy, you know, a free ticket, you know, to feed off the earth for 6,000 years. How sick is that? I know you're thinking about that. I know you're angry with God. And many people are probably angry with that idea. But that's, you know, the research ultimately takes us all to the final answer, which is that one. And I know it sounds, right, you know, kind of close-minded and extreme. But that's how it is.
It sounds psychopathic to enjoy suffering, to promote suffering, to put people...
Well, God's not enjoying it. And no. I believe here God doesn't enjoy that. And I believe people are blaming the wrong God here. Okay? They're blaming the wrong God. Who enjoys it is Satan, not God. God cries for the souls that are being tormented. He doesn't like this one bit. But we transgress the laws up in heaven and tough. Well, this is the penalty that we're suffering in this body of flesh. We're being corrupted every day, and now we're being attacked and hunted down for it. And now they don't want you to get back to heaven. That's basically it. We're talking about an evil, so evil that you can't even imagine what evil is. The spiders that they unleashed in India is just the beginning. I mean, you're going to start seeing things being unleashed, and you're going to start praying to God. I guarantee you that.
Well, I prayed to God for many years, and the answer to my prayer was unending suffering of myself and my son. Those were the answers to my prayers. So that's why I've been, you know, questioning these things for some time. But I also want to just bring up, you had mentioned about the unleashing of a nuclear weapon, whatever. We've already had a nuclear weapon unleashed. It's called Fukushima.
Let's talk about that just for a moment.
Okay, wait, let me finish my thought, please. Hold on. So we have the unleashing of that nuclear weapon. It's already occurred. And we have the unleashing of the biological weapons already. As a matter of fact, there's a movie coming out very soon with Brad Pitt about World War III, only it's called World War Z, I believe. So it's all about the zombie situation as well. And somebody just Skyped me a question about the 2012 Olympic Games, which I think is very important. They're promoting measles and influenza vaccines to the people that go there, to all the athletes, as well as the people that work at the Games. So what I think is going to happen is probably a zombie, you know, what they'll call zombie, but it's actually a rabies cannibalistic situation that's going to be happening at the Games. And it'll be televised worldwide. What better way to induce fear and terror in the people? Go ahead.
Okay. There's an arms race going on. It has to do with transhumanism. But transhumanism is just the cultural acceptance of a totally deformed society. All right? That's what it is. It's really about the post-human condition that these evil entities want to usher in. Now, one of the things about London, yes, it's a ritual. Yes, they will announce the king of the world in London. These people are crazy. That's why you see the logo of the 2012 Olympics, then it gives you the word Zion, right?
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We concur with that. But, you know, Gordon Duff published something on veterans today, just a week and a half ago. And this document is up on my website. There's a link to it. It's about Fukushima number two. People don't know this, but they have to know this. A false flag attack was already thwarted from being escalated to a full-scale attack at the London Games. Why? Because of us exposing the evildoers. You see, it's about exposing them. I'm sorry. They don't get away with it when we start exposing their evil deeds. There are very good people behind the scenes that are giving us information, passing information to us as researchers so we can put on our websites. What happened was there's a U-2 submarine. There's a little YouTube submarine that was retrofitted from the time of World War II by the Germans, all right? There's a secret group called the DVD, and it's documented by Gordon Duff. And basically, they put a Russian nuclear warhead inside this U-2 submarine and in April. And this submarine touched port over there in the UK. And when it touched port, basically, this submarine, it was put out into intelligence agencies, SIS and CIA and everything, that they had grabbed a nuclear weapon that was going to be used at the London Games. False flag. They did not grab the nuclear weapon. They put it back inside the U-2 submarine. That U-2 submarine right now is at port in the Philippines, you know, refueling, probably on its way right now to Japan. The last word we got from Gordon Duff, that the plan was to detonate this Russian nuclear warhead on Japanese soil at a plutonium depository that the Japanese have, in order to create the ultimate scenario, which is to explode this nuclear weapon and create a blanket of plutonium over North America.
Yes.
All right? And kill off everybody. They want to do it. According to this research that we have in front of us, they're going live with it on the 21st or 22nd of June. Remember, that's when summer starts. These people are ill-bent on aligning this with their spiritual alignments and everything, or by August 17th. That's the information we have. If you just go and research and look up, you know, exclusive Japan attack, German terror intel group complicit, and you'll find it online by Gordon Duff.
But they're already doing that. I mean, one of the reactors, I think it's reactor number 4, the one that has plutonium in it, that's the one that's melting down the fastest. So we already have that situation happening, but you're saying they're going to escalate it by attacking it with a nuclear bomb.
You see, if behind the scenes there's another war going on. The Third World War started a long time ago. It's asymmetrical warfare. It's cyber attacks. It's this and that. It's behind the scenes black ops. What they're trying to do here is basically, if they manage to entomb Fukushima and they manage to keep controlling the radiation release from going, you know, critical in reactor 4, reactor 2, which the corium is already going inside the earth with reactor 1 and 3, basically, what we're going to be seeing, not three, but anyway, the other reactors, the situation, instead of escalating, it would start getting control, or at least under control. They want to guarantee that it goes out of control. Okay? And they're going to use seismic weapons. They're going to use whatever they want and hit it against Japan in order to destroy Japan. Japan is the sacrificial lamb for these people. All right? Mm-hmm. They just want to sacrifice Japan and kill off all of the population in the northern hemisphere. That's why they have their underground bases. That's why they've been going off the radar, getting ready for this final scenario.
Right. And what's really sad is that, you know, Japan was nuked by the United States, by the Zionists who created the atom bomb to begin with, and now they've allowed a situation in their country where they nuked themselves with the Fukushima disaster. And, of course, the word on the street is that happened because Japan was siding with the Palestinians in the whole Zionist-Palestinian conflict, so they had to send a message to Japan and, you know, basically cause the earthquake that caused the tsunami that caused the destruction of the reactors, which apparently had bombs within them as well. And And now it's gotten to the point, I mean, just to show the insanity of the bloodline psychopaths, because they're out there everywhere. They control all countries. I just read in the paper today that the Prime Minister of Japan is now trying to tell the people, we have to activate more of our nuclear reactors because we don't have enough energy for our country. I mean, the insanity of these people just boggles the mind.
Exactly. It not only boggles the mind, but you have to understand it from the perspective that it's endgame anyway. All right? It's endgame anyway. Look, let me explain it this way. Life as we know it already changed after 9-1-1. Okay? If you go and analyze online objectively, this is what I did. I talked to Jim Stone, who's a journalist in the United States, that's a freelance journalist, that started exposing the situation about the Zionist Edomites, okay, and how they, he says that Israel attacked Japan via Fukushima. There was no 9.1 Richter earthquake because there is no evidence, seismic evidence with the seismographs in Japan. He has proof of this, that there was a 6.5 but not a 9.1, that the USGS escalated the event in order to make people believe that this was worse than it was, and that the Israelis pre-positioned a nuclear device at Fukushima and blew it up on purpose, all right? And that Israel basically is behind this in order to stop the secret nuclear program that the Japanese had, in order that they were enriching probably uranium for the Iranians. And basically we're talking about a direct declaration of war. They threatened with more tsunamis. The tsunami was artificially created. There was some form of artificial tsunami created off the coast of Japan. Jim Stone goes into that. Just go Jim Stone and look up the word Fukushima report. It's a 40-page read, but you know, I recommend it. And nonetheless, it already happened. And they're trying to do this one second time? I mean, these people are really, you know, sick. If you ask me, humanity has changed. We're already being radiated. Our tuna fish is radiated here in California. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time where life as we know it will just be diminished, and we will suffer terrible consequences for what these people are doing. And we cannot stop them because they have this the supernatural Lucifer situation behind their back. They're going to let it happen. Revelations, the book of Revelation is going to happen. And what we have to do is just come into terms spiritually with the problem. Okay? And if you have necessary resources and you've stored up water, you stored up food in your home for 6 months, and you're armed to the teeth, well, you have a good chance to survive this. But the Great Tribulation is going to bring out the persecution and killing massively of human beings on this earth. They're going to unleash terrible horrors. And one of them is Islam, radical Islam, that has been prepared by them. Hitler prepared them. It's all about the same people financing the same monsters so they can come out and start unleashing terrible horrors and upon the world. And it's sad because I have children too, and I don't want my children to be born into a world where basically they're going to be doomed anyway.
Well, on that happy note, let's just take a little break so we can all get a glass of water to gulp down this truth, and we'll be back in a moment. Okay, folks, we're back with my guest, Alexander Bachman, alexanderbachman.com. Definitely check out that site. I have so many things written down that I want to bring up. The first thing I want to ask you about that came to mind when we're talking about the cannibals that are being created by the rabbi, it's so amazing you came up with that, the rabbi virus that's been tweaked. So this is basically the way I look at it. So we have people whose brains are being destroyed by this virus that they tweaked with this LQP-79 infection, perhaps with a protein that mimics LSD, or they've tweaked it with bird flu. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, if somebody that was infected with that virus had accepted Jesus as their Savior prior to eating people, what would happen to them?
Well, when they're prior to eating people, basically they would be born again Christians, and you would have a spiritual covering of your DNA. There is a supernatural part of this war, and if you're saved by Jesus, you do not have to be under these demonic attacks. I mean, there are supernatural elements to all of this, and yes.
Right.
Let me just explain one thing. The second heaven is Satan's kingdom. The third heaven is where God is, all right? And we are in the first heaven down here. So you have to pray very hard and a lot, like Daniel did for 21 days, in order for angels to come down and help us. But, you know, it's that connection with the Holy Spirit that allows us to be the overcomers of these terrible times that are ahead of us.
Okay, so the people that accepted Jesus and were infected with the rabbi virus and became cannibals and ate people, they didn't pray hard enough.
They would not be cannibals. You see, God, how can I explain this? Why would Christians be infected? If you are infected, you would be inhabited by, you would become a fit extension of demonic warfare. Look, the demons do work inside people. I have direct evidence of this, all right? And for a person to be infected in this way and become a cannibal, it's not the person that is cannibalized. It's the consciousness of the person is suppressed, and they become a demonic entity or an inhabitor of evil, all right? And the only one that came back, you know, the only one that came here to earth to expel demons from out of people, I mean, Luke was a doctor in the gospel, and they could differentiate between what was epilepsy and what was a demonic infestation. It was Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to cast out demons, and he taught us how to do that. It's our responsibility to come into terms with that and understand what spiritual warfare is all about. There are resources on my website for anybody that wants to learn how to do that at the Alexander Bachman Show.
Okay, so the people that become cannibals, those are the people that didn't pray hard enough, like I said. They weren't truly saved, because if they were truly saved, they would not have been allowed to be infected.
Well, the logic is kind of flawed in that respect. I mean, when we talk about a Christian being infected with our rabies virus, well, we would have to do the research and maybe get some statistics in there. You know, personally, I can't follow that logic in that respect. I know you're trying to expose, you know, very interesting questions. You're trying to define this situation. But this guy in Miami, which is a satanic capital in the United States where they practice Santeria, all this voodoo, hoodoo stuff from Haiti, and Haiti was baptized unto Satan. People don't know that, but in the 1700s, they baptized the entire country of Haiti to the devil. Okay?
Right.
And this guy
is going to spread. This is going to spread all over the world. So we're not talking Miami, Haiti. We're talking about worldwide. As this virus is unleashed, as they make a vaccine and start injecting it into people, are you saying that the people that are praying enough and have accepted Jesus and all the other stuff, that they will not become cannibals?
Well, I don't have any guarantee of that. I do have guarantee that there are supernatural aspects of how strong your faith is by the grace of God, that you will be protected and you won't even get a vaccine shot that will infect you.
Okay, we're getting a question on Skype. When you say pray, is this the same thing as using your mind to aid manifestation of good for all of us? In other words,
absolutely.
And actually, this brings to mind something that Obama, the CIA monster that's our alleged president, he had actually said something about basically. Getting redemption, like you could do it on a wholesale basis, that you don't have to just ask for your own redemption or work towards your own redemption, that you can do it wholesale for a bunch of people. So is that possible?
Well, you know, Obama, the situation with Obama is just a case in itself. It's just and I'm sorry to use this word, a demonstration of how Babylon, the United States, has become in bed with the enemy. I mean, the United States is a satanic power. And it's very sad to say this, but, you know, all the good Christians out there that might understand this are all good human beings, because they're very good people that maybe haven't come into terms with Jesus Christ. But, you know, the situation with Obama, I mean, being the son of Malcolm X, being raised a Muslim, being taken to Indonesia, being prepped by NASA, being prepped in kind of super soldier satanic programs, And then,
being
you know, being
being a sixth cousin of Dick Cheney that actually came out in the election, so he is part of the psychopathic bloodline. Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And his mother is Jewish, all right? Newman. And he's absolutely prepped and put into power as the black president in the black house. And I don't want to be disrespective here as to his African-American lineage, okay? So all
that part of him that's you know, has more melanin is being used to hoodwink the people of color in this country. I listen
absolutely
to C-SPAN all pretty much every day, and it's amazing how many people of African-American descent that know the history of how the blacks have been experimented on, Tuskegee Institute, the list is endless, and yet this president, who's come out with his National Defense Authorization Act, who's putting drones upon American citizens to kill them off, he's got a kill list, and yet they'll defend him because he's got more melanin in his skin. This is another part of the satanic agenda, obviously, to put somebody in power at this point that people will stand behind just because of the color of his skin. It is insane.
It is insane. It is insane. And another thing that is very important, who controls the White House? Not even him. It's this woman called, I think her name is Jarrett. This woman controls the White House, and the controllers of Obama are Zbigniew Brzezinski, Trilateral Commission, CFR. These are evil, evil people, all right? And basically, Obama is just under a state of mind control, and that's why they have him. He's just a puppet. He's just an evil communist, whatever you want to call it, puppet. I mean, there's so many adjectives for the guy. Now, I'm probably going to be on the kill list now because they have drones over Mexican airspace all the time now. Mexico has been invaded by the United States. We have an Office of Binational Intelligence operated by the DOD and the Pentagon, DHS, operating actively in Mexico, you know, monitoring everything we do. So it's like...
Okay, you know? Okay, wait a minute. I wish we had more time. We only have a half hour left. There's so many things I want to ask you. That brings to mind something that we had discussed off the air that I want you to bring up. These fake drug wars that are happening in Mexico, where people are being beheaded and all this stuff is going on. Please tell the listeners what's really happening in Mexico.
This is very important. You know, being a journalist in Mexico is one of the most dangerous professions. And, you know, the cartel wars are not even cartel wars, okay? What happened basically is a plan by the world elite in order to create Mexico as a proxy state for the communist invasion of the United States via creating such chaos and terror in Mexico that Russia and China could have a platform with radical Islam in order to invade America. That's what's going on. We have Hezbollah and Hamas operating with the cartels. Beheading people is a strategy of terror. It creates terror in the infidel.
Wait a minute. Wait, beheading people is part, it's not a Muslim thing. It's part of the Noahide laws. And they're constantly talking about Sharia law. What they don't talk about is Noahide law of the Zionists. So I'd like to bring that into it as well. It's not all of these groups, and the Mossad is at the top of the list. But one of the things I just wanted the people to realize is that while they're blaming the drug cartels for all of this mass murder that's happening, it's actually just another black ops operation.
I would have to agree with you in many respects because, you know, Israel invested more than $110 million in their embassy in Mexico City. Why would they invest that kind of money, you know, after 9/11? So I absolutely believe that there is an agenda behind all of this in order to create the failed state that Mexico already is. I mean, they've killed 90,000 people in less than 5 years. 4,000 of them are children. The president, the Mexican psychopath president, says that this is basically collateral damage. We have the military on our street 24 hours a day in all cities in Mexico. We have the military at their checkpoints and all roads of access outside of the cities. And this is not because we're at war with the drug cartels. This is because they want to submit and have people under submission, social control. Because when the economy collapses, when they release the pandemics, when they unleash whatever they're going to unleash. They will have people quarantined inside their own city in a total state of martial law. In fact, the Mexican president is drafting, not only drafted a law, tried to put it into Congress. And if we didn't mention that this was going to happen, they tried to reform our national security law, which would allow the president to declare martial law all over Mexico and to arrest anybody on site that, which is he considers a dissident to his regime. So in Mexico, we have a dictator, the same as you have in the United States. And in Mexico right now, I mean, we're living literally a crisis of epic proportions that is not being reported. Mexico is in a state of war, according to Conflict Barometer over there at Heidelberg University in Germany. And, you know, it's official. Mexico is a failed state already. We have the Pentagon finalizing the agreement this year, at the beginning of this year, with Blackwater or XC Services for them to come into Mexico massively. And we're going to have, you know, a civil war break out in Mexico any moment now. We're in a presidential election right now where the profile of the leftist communist candidate, which his name is Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who emulated his campaign based on Obama. He's even using the letter O with the rising sun inside it. Now, this guy's a Mason from the left communist regime, and this guy's going to be put into power. So everything aligns into the world communist model of eco-Soviet style living, where the New World Order will usher in their ultimate dictatorship of tyranny. And what they want to do is confront Christianity with Islam in order to destroy both to create their new religious-free, no God exists, humanist model of a post-human, transhuman world, basically a scientific dictatorship that nobody wants. But that's what they're doing. And
right, and let's not forget to mention the fact that, you know, if they actually wanted to close the border and prevent quote-unquote illegal immigration, they could certainly do that. But they don't do that because they actually use this, it's part of the divide and conquer strategy as well. These poor people that run to the United States believing that this is a country of opportunity, well, the joke's on them, how sad, because especially the fact that once they get there, once they get here and they get on whatever health care coverage they have and they start getting their children inoculated and all the rest of it, they're going to be killed off as well. But this is another way that they're trying to get people to get against the illegal immigrants, and this is a distraction that they use to prevent people from realizing that this could all be stopped if they wanted to stop it, but it's all part of the same scam.
Yeah, we would need, back in 2008, I issued a national, an address to the nation in Mexico, telling the people the graveness of the situation to rise against this beast inside the machine. The problem is that people don't rise. They're weak-minded individuals. People in Mexico don't want to fight back. Nobody wants to fight back because they're already in a zombie state because of all the GMOs and all the fluoride and everything they have with their vaccines corrupting their DNA. The fight back mode is gone. You know, we don't have the people that we had before in Europe that would stand up and rise against these tyrannical systems. Now everybody's into submission because they're enamored with their internet and their Facebook and all their mind control technologies in order to have people under a constant state of distraction. That's the way we see it. And one last thing that I want to point out, Felipe Calderon last year, issued a presidential decree, which is basically like an executive order in the United States, where the king says and things happen. And what he did basically is he signed a decree where he forced all underage citizens to be databased with biometric iris scans and 10-digit fingerprint scanning for a database with DNA. And this is very important. We had eye scan, voice scan, DNA. When you know all children when they're born, they tell them that they're going to take a little blood sample from their ankle, from the sole of their foot.
In the U.S. as well. This is not just Mexico. The U.S. as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they call it the Tamiz test. It's not the Tamiss test. It's a DNA database. So they can create super biological viri or biological weapons in order to target selected genetic parts of the population and kill off the people. That's why when we saw the SARS outbreak in China, it only affected the Asian population. When it arrived to Canada, it stopped because they're directing these weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Okay, so I have so many questions I want to ask you. We might have to go on to next week. I don't know if you're available, but...
Oh, of course.
It would be my pleasure. I think we're going to have to do that. Okay, so the next question I wanted to ask you, as I'm making notes, because I just love talking with you, and I'm so glad we're doing it on air so others can benefit. When you're talking about the Shroud of Turin, one of the things that you had mentioned about Israel and Jesus being in Israel and all that kind of stuff. Now, from my research, I found out that without question, Jesus was not a Jew to begin with.
No, he was not.
This is one of the biggest scams that's out there. Israel is the chosen people and all this other crap. As you've said, they are the sons and daughters of Cain. And that's why they say that If a child has a Jewish mother, it is Jewish because it's the mother that transmits the mitochondrial DNA, and that's the important part of the picture here. But I just want to ask you a question about that in terms of Jesus being in Israel in the first place. Why is so much evidence or information put out about Jesus being in Israel? Why would he be in Israel in the first place if he's A, not a Jew, and B, knows that that is the land of the Pharisees and the synagogue of Satan? He can't save those people. They are children of Lucifer. So what was he doing there, or was he ever actually there?
Well, he was. In fact, what people need to do is... I would direct him to ProfessorTruth.com and download the excerpt of Temple at the Center of Time we have up there by David Flynn. But buy that book and do the research. I mean, it's too extensive to answer the question, just like with the minutes we have left. But I can tell you this.
Hold on. We're going to go into next week. See,
all right.
And I know that you're telling people to do this, do that. I don't even have enough time to do all these things. Because
I'm trying to
deal with the biological assaults. So please, I appreciate that you're giving reference sources for those that have the time. But if you can just go into it a little bit, I'd appreciate
it. Okay, great. Okay, Mount Moriah is the mount chosen by God. That's what's called Moriah. All right, now Yahweh chose Israel for a reason. Okay, it's a geographical location specific that has to do with alignments. It has to do with calendar dates. It has to do with the judgment itself, and it has to do with the end of days. Now, Israel was chosen for a reason. Jerusalem, the city of peace, was chosen for a reason. The people that usurp the state of Israel today have nothing to do with the true state of the people of Israel that are spread out through the world. I mean, the true tribes of Israel are spread out all over the world, all right? And what we're looking at, the situation, you know, about 97% of the people that say they are Hebrew, the Hebrew nation, which are not. Okay, now, Jesus was not Jewish, okay? That is another farce. He was an Israelite, and he was Hebrew, and he came out of the tribe of Judah. But that doesn't have anything to do with the Jews, all right? Don't confuse Judah, the Judea concept, with the Jews, okay, of today. You have to understand that and do the research in order to grasp the situation. Now, there's a supernatural element to the Ark of the Covenant and why the Holy of Holies, which is a perfect cube chamber inside the Temple of Solomon, was built. It has to do with the crucifixion itself. Ron Wyatt was an excellent archaeologist that was spiritually driven back in the 90s to uncover the place where the crucifixion took place, found all the evidence, the forensic evidence that proved the place of the crucifixion did take place at Golgotha, which is the skull or cavalry, and he also proved right there on the road to Damascus
he proved that he recovered basically the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this blood was taken to laboratories there in Israel. It was tested, and they found that the DNA, it had 23 chromosomes from the mother and just one chromosome from the father. Now, that was proven scientifically. Now, the other thing that was proven, which is very important, is that this was living blood. When they put it in a special mixture for 48 hours, the blood became alive. And you cannot revive dead blood, can you?
No, but that brings another question. Okay, so why wasn't Jesus allowed to propagate his bloodline on the face of the earth, you know, to bring about, you know, more of this bloodline in order to help save the world? Perhaps what you're saying is there is nothing we can do. It's basically written in stone.
No, we are part of royalty, all right? All of us are part of this royalty. It's called Adam. And when we inherit the kingdom, not here, when we inherit the kingdom up in heaven, we will come into terms into that situation that we are going to inherit a kingdom. That means we're going to also become part of that kingdom. So imagine the implications here of getting out of here and going to heaven and inheriting the kingdom with Jesus. Okay, that's extreme in itself, you know, to come into terms with that. The situation here with Jesus is that he came and finished it off. That's why he told Satan over there when he was crucified, he said to him, Totalistai. And Totalistai means, you know, end game, buddy. Your appeal is going to be not accepted anymore. I'm going to come back on probably 2012-21 December, and we're going to issue your arrest. You're going to do your little great tribulation for 3.5 years, and then, you know, Jesus Christ is going to come back and fight against these evil tyrants and get his children back home. You know, time is ticking right now, and end time is here. And people need to grasp these concepts. I know it's difficult for many people that do not subscribe to the Bible and are fighting, you know, with their identity and believing that there's going to be a planetary ascension of some sort or an illumination, or the human species is going to rise up and this against the New World Order. No. If you read prophecy in the Bible, the New World Order is going to be the worst empire you ever imagined. And they're going to hunt you down, but you have to come into terms with Jesus Christ. That's, you know, that's the final situation here. And why would Jesus not extend his genetic lineage beyond the crucifixion? Because he didn't have to. The other theories about subscribing to that idea that he had children with Mary Magdalene and all that, and they went off to France and all that stuff, that's a lie, you know, being inseminated by the Agnostics, the Gnostics, by the same Merovingian bloodlines that believe that they are part of Jesus Christ's bloodline. That is not true. And when we talk about the genetic lineage of Jesus that stemmed from Jacob, Isaac, all the way from Abraham, all the way from Adam, pure, all the way into the lineage of Mary, King David, Mary, and Jesus, it was to fulfill prophecy. It was in order to fulfill the Bible supernaturally, for all things to align perfectly under God's design so we could get out of here. That's basically it.
Right, and that's the hard thing for people, especially young people that are having children now. Myself personally, if I'd have known what I know now, I would have never had a child to begin with, to bring him into this hell to begin with. But actually, that's what caused me to wake up, was seeing what happened and all the rest of it. But that's a very hard thing to face, is that death is our reward. And, you know, and that's what makes it very difficult to get people on board to continue to do what we're doing, to expose the truth. Because, yes, you will be targeted. You will, you know, possibly be assassinated. There may be protection for some time, but eventually they'll be able to do what they do. And how do you recruit soldiers for the good side when your reward is death? You know, that's a very hard thing.
It's not death. You see, when you see death as a terrible situation, you fear death, it's because you're under that state where your mind is basically not in tune with God. I don't see death as death. I see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has been proven. The Pentagon even has filmography or videography of this, over there at Sandia Labs in New Mexico. They have this Chronovisor virtual reality room where they used this technology. They went back to the days and filmed the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there is plenty of evidence. It's not going to come out into the light of day, but you know, the situation is that Jesus rose from the dead 3.5 days later. He ascended up to heaven, obviously, 40 days later. Okay, he was with all of the apostles in order to establish his belief structure of him being the Savior, which is documented even from the Old Testament. Now, I'm getting some background noise there. I don't know what it is.
All right, but we're still on the air, so let me just say, okay, first of all, I don't fear death. I can't wait to die. They've taken everything I have, so that's my attitude, and that's why I keep doing what I do, because that will be when I go on vacation. That's how I look at it. But many people that think they have a life that they can't understand that, you know, that knowing. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. But one you thing were born you into said, bondage. Hold on.
Okay.
You were born into bondage. What does bondage mean? You were tied down. You're in a prison. And in this prison system, you cannot be free until you come into reality that the only chain breaker, the only guy who has the key to the bottomless pit and to heaven is Jesus Christ. Not the Antichrist, not the New World Order, not your humanist scientific model. No, it's Jesus Christ. All right?
Right.
And that's the key. That's the key to getting out of here. And you have a boarding pass on Yeshua HaMashiach Airlines. We have to celebrate instead of being, you know, afraid. We have to celebrate that we are going home soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you just brought up something else I have to ask you about. Okay, Jesus died on a Friday. He was resurrected on a Sunday. That's 2 days. So explain that whole, you know, disinformation thing. Because that's another problem that people always ask me about. You know, the math doesn't work out. You just said 3.5 days. Well, Friday to Sunday is 2 days.
Well, that's very interesting that you mentioned that. You know, I hadn't thought about it, you know, and it's very interesting that you pointed out. I would have to do the research trying to come to terms with that little mishap there with the days. And I totally agree with you. He was crucified on a Friday as the Passover lamb. In order to fulfill the ancient testament, the Old Testament with the New Testament, he came to fulfill, and I would have to go into that code, the 3.5 day thing, in order to come to terms with that. So thank you for pointing that out, because as a researcher, I'm not an expert, you know, into biblical prophecy. I'm a student myself, but that's what I've understood so far.
No, that's okay. Right. And like I said, I'd like to continue the discussion next Sunday, because I'm sure nobody's
But I do have
in.
Something, you know, about the 3.5 day model, which is interesting, because in Revelation 11, there's the two witnesses in Jerusalem. Some people believe it's going to be Moses and Elijah. They're going to come back, and they're going to preach a gospel, basically, there at the end of days. And it says that it's going to be during Christmas time, that, like, basically 3.5 days before Christmas, you will have these two prophets there in Jerusalem, and they would be killed. Right at the time of the Antichrist coming into power. Now, whoever the Antichrist is, the research points to Prince William. I subscribe to that idea. I don't think it's Obama. And I do believe that 3.5 days later, these people will rise again. These two prophets will rise after being killed by the system, and they will rise again supernaturally.
Right, but from what you've said, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. This is... Go ahead.
It's God's game. It's God's war against the devil. It's not our war. It's God's war, ultimately.
Right.
Yes.
Right, and God has determined that he has to smite the earth, that there's going to be rivers of blood, that the innocent who are, you know, from what you're saying, fallen angels, and they didn't realize it, and they, you know, were deceived, whatever, but that there's nothing we can do. The earth is going to be basically annihilated. There's nothing we can do. So
exactly.
What's the point of bringing these people back? For what reason?
It has to do with the angel wars. It has to do with supernatural means of fulfillment of his living word, which transcends time and space, which is the Bible. The Bible is a supernatural document. I know people say, well, you know, things were, you know, misconstrued, mistranslated, and this and that. Yeah, but you'd have to go and do the research just of the Torah and why we have, like, people like Eliyahu Reaps, this mathematician from the NSA, you know, leaving the NSA as a code breaker and just dedicating his entire life to the Bible, understanding there are super elements, the supernatural, super dimensional elements to the writing of the Bible itself. So, you know,
that isn't it sad that God could not have created a Bible that you could understand from reading it? That there has to be, you know, 30, 40 years of research involved in figuring out what the heck it says. You know, well, that's another thing I have a problem with.
Well, we have the model, which is called the Sally model, which is a little girl of 7 years old can read the Bible and begin to understand it if she reads it linearly. But there are so many, you know, hidden aspects to a Bible that it couldn't have been written. It could not have been written by anybody of this earth. That is absolutely proven. The prophets were used by God in order to write the Bible, Moses being one of them. And when we talk about the Bible being written for a specific purpose in the way it was written, I mean, these 66 books with 40 authors during more than 2,000 years, there's no other book like it in the history of the world. And to understand it, well, you would have to do the research and start reading it and coming to grasp and get enamored with the profoundness and the deepness of the message of the Bible.
Okay, and one of the things it says in the Bible, I'm just bringing this up on my little biblical thing here. It's going to take me a minute, but basically Isaiah 45, 5 through 7, it actually says in there that God created evil. He created the darkness. He created the chaos.
If you go to Genesis 1, which is very interesting, you know, in Genesis 1 it says, in the beginning, God, which is Elohim, the Trinity, created the heaven and the earth, or the heavens, the dimensions, and the matter. It doesn't really need to mean earth, the planet. It means the matter, the physical aspect. And then it says, the second, Genesis 1, 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That means this universe was created to encapsulate the anomaly that represents evil. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So that's when God came into the arena. But first we had a void, we had a darkness, we had a bottomless pit, whatever you want to call it. And then light came into the aspect. So yes, I absolutely believe that there is an anomaly that God wanted to study, and we're in the middle of this problem.
Okay.
But if you also study, I'm sorry to interrupt here. But if you also study Isaiah 53, you know, it was written 2,500 years before Jesus was crucified. It talks about the crucifixion. And when you put the biblical model in Hebrew inside the Bible software, the Torah software, you will find that the 40 people that were involved in the crucifixion by name appear in a hidden embedded code in Hebrew inside Isaiah 53. So...
okay, but
just that alone will give you enough evidence of the supernatural aspect of what Isaiah is all about.
But obviously dark is not just darkness, it's also evil. It's both, correct?
Yes, absolutely. But that doesn't mean, you know, through this logic that God is evil. Do you understand me?
No, I didn't say God is evil. I said God created evil. God created evil, he created good. And now he's watching the two forces battle it out.
No. Because the other force that you say, well, the two forces, like excluding God from good, would be putting God in a third-person reality. No. God is good. We're under constraint by the enemy. We're under control by the enemy. He operates in the second heaven, which is basically the entire universe. And what people call the alien agenda and all of that is basically fallen angels coming back and trying to deceive the population of the earth, that the earth is so flawed and in a time of peril and danger that they were going to try to evacuate humanity, that aliens do exist. They're going to come out with all of that. In reality, they just want to kill off the population and take them to hell before they get saved by Jesus Christ. That's the reality of this situation.
Okay. All right, we have a caller that, well, we're working on that to bring in the the information or either the caller. I don't know if the station's going to be able to do that. But I'm making a whole list of things I want to talk to you about as we continue this conversation next week. You had told me some very important information about the super soldiers. I was wondering if you could get into that in more depth.
Oh, absolutely. We have a super soldier that we helped out. His name was James Casbolt, or Michael Prince. If you want to get his entire confession that he emailed me before he was killed last year, you would just go on whatever search engine and type out the Return of the Rephaim, Alexander Bachman, and you'll find a link to the PDF file there. And it's an article I wrote last month on the supernatural aspect of the Rephaim. Basically, the Rephaim are this disembodied spirits that come from another aspect. They're demons, basically, and they can reincarnate inside the family bloodlines that you know as the Illuminati. So the Rephaim, okay, inside that document, we have a document by Michael Prince. Now, Michael Prince is the alias of this super soldier, four-time clone, James Casbolt, out of the UK. Now, many people try to ridicule him, try to come against him for him coming out because of all the mind control experimentation that was done on him, which was terrible in itself. Now, what we have confirmation of by this document by him is that there's an active project of creating endoskeleton, metallic skeleton super soldiers in Brazil by the power elite. There's also another project in Yucatan, Mexico, where they have all these children hooked up to artificial wombs. And these wombs that have hundreds and hundreds of embryos inside, human embryos gestating inside, are connected to an artificial intelligence machine. I know this sounds way out there. You'd have to read it for yourself. And that they are connected to this mother system. Now, the mother is basically in artificial intelligence. And when these embryos are brought to term and born, they are connected or hived into a collective state of the artificial intelligence system, meaning that they identify themselves with the computer as the mother, not the human mother that bears life to them. So this is very interesting because it comes into the situation. There are some super, really super secret projects out there that they are experimenting with children, connecting their brains to the internet in real time, downloading massive amounts of information into their brains via the internet. These projects are ongoing. Not only the United States is behind these projects, you have China behind these projects, creating super children that can cognitively, instantaneously programmed at a distance. These children have like Wi-Fi capabilities rigged into their genetic system. That's why, you know, you have all this synthetic biology being pushed by the world elite and coming out publicly, because they want to enhance the human condition into this postmodern warfare scenario, where we will finally, the humans, the true blooded humans, will have to fight eventually a battle against these superhuman people that are going to come out into the public and say, we're better than you are. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I surely hope that by 2018, 2019, we get out of here, doctor. But if not, the model, if we extend it to 2025 or 2040, is not good at all.
Well, I totally agree with you. And in fact, in our prior conversation, well, let me just say, first of all you have to do is watch the Terminator movies. They show about the metallic exoskeleton, and the movies Matrix, the various, I think there's three parts. They
and
show
Wolverine.
About.
What about Wolverine and the X-Men, which is the mark of Cain, the X with a circle inside it? All this, you know, James Casbolt told me that all the X-Men movies and all these movies that come out in Hollywood, in fact, the NSA has a contract with all these black programs. For if any soldier of the super soldier programs comes out and talks about it, they to Hollywood producers and stuff like that, they have to give a certain amount of money to the NSA for revealing certain information about these super secret projects. So it's absolutely true. I mean, James Caswell was used as one of these experiments. He was injected with different types of genetics from different animals. to attain these supernatural aspects to him. He had super hearing. He had he could change the color of his skin. He had super eyesight from eagle genetics. I mean, they've done such terrible, horrid experiments.
And he could run at unbelievable miles per hour.
Yes, and he could jump, you know, over buildings in a single bound. I mean, metaphorically speaking, he could jump over a two-story house and get on the roof in one jump. So these things are not just beyond reality. They're already here. But when we talk about them, people would say, oh, man, Alexander, you're really out there. No, go read the document for yourself. He published it, not me. I'm just putting it out on the Internet.
So did he, and this is my last question, we're out of time. Did he go to heaven?
Yes, he eventually, you know, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior before all this transpired. Yes, he did. We helped him out with that. But I don't know if the programming, because he was abducted by the military abduction group, which is my labs. And I don't know if they got to him again and recloned him or whatever they did to him. But I surely hope he went back to heaven.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much. We did get a number of callers. I'm getting a message now. We're going to continue this conversation next week. I've made a list of further questions that I want to ask. I think this is extremely important. I definitely agree with you that this is a spiritual war, good versus evil. The idea that there's nothing we can do, that it's all played out and we're going to, you know, our reward is death. That's a very hard thing to face because in terms of recruiting further people to do the right thing, if your reward is death, you know, there's not going to be a lot of people that sign on.
Reward is not death, doctor. Your reward is eternal life. That is very
right.
Important.
Which cannot be proved, and that's the problem. Okay.
Well, no, it has been proven.
Okay, let's continue with that next week because we're out of time.
All right.
This has been a very important show that we've done. And I thank you so much for your time. And if you've already agreed, we're going to continue this next week, people. Please tune in, and we'll ask you to call in and ask your questions. And thank you so much, Alexander, for everything you're doing to wake people up.
Rebecca, it's my pleasure. And, you know, we're in this together. I love you, sister. And, you know, I'm very much anxious to being back on your show next week. God bless you. Thank you.
It's a date. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.